The scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited upon him. The word of God for the people of God.
Remember who you are. I had a friend whose parents would say that to her whenever they were saying goodbye. Remember who you are. It was the way they sent her off into the world. My parents said something closer to behave yourself or be good. Surely remembering who we are inspires goodness, at least in theory. And yet, even now, as a mother who sends her children out into the world, I don't know that I am finished figuring out who I am. What am I remembering? Remember who you are. I can see my teenaged self and perhaps even my current self responding to that phrase with, "And just who am I exactly?" Or, "Who do you think I am, Mom?" The ongoing process of figuring out who we are is part of the human experience. And our identity shifts and changes throughout our lives. I am a mom, but I was not always. I am a partner, but I was not always. I am a daughter and a sister. I am a pastor. I am both a believer and a doubter. I was once an athlete, and I still hope to be a better writer. So, who am I? Who am I called to be? I can't help but think that this natural part of being human was part of Jesus' experience as well. Surely he wondered, who am I? And how am I supposed to be fully me? And what will it take to fully live into that person? Of course, in the scene just before the one we had read for us, Jesus gets a pretty clear message on his identity. Jesus has gone to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist, and he is coming up out of the waters of baptism, and the heavens open up, and the Spirit of God surrounds him, and God says, "This is my beloved Son, and with him I am well pleased." And so Jesus' identity is bound up in relationship. Jesus' identity is bound up in relationship, not in a particular set of behaviors, but in an orientation of his life that embraces the mutual love between a father and a son. For whatever else Jesus is, it is clear that he is loved by God, claimed by God, empowered by God. And holding on to that identity should help him orient his life. should help him choose his behaviors, should help him live into his calling. Remember who you are. Loved by God, claimed by God, empowered by God. It is identity wrapped up in relationship. And it is immediately tested. The scripture says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus chose this. He chose this time of discernment. Throughout the Bible, wilderness is not just a physical place of barrenness or emptiness. It often represents a spiritual place as well, a place where one struggles with faith. And Jesus, sensing a call to do so, walks right into it. Right after Jesus is given a clear sense of his own identity, he goes into the wilderness to struggle with that identity, to discern what it will mean in his life, to see how he might live in this relationship to God that is still being figured out. Jesus does not rush the process. He knows he's doing important work. 40 days and 40 nights. He fasts, he prays, and when it seems like he might break, the tempter comes to see who Jesus really is, to see how Jesus will live into this identity and ministry, to see to whom Jesus will give his greatest loyalty. The devil begins with a question of identity. If you are the Son of God, he says. Or some translations read, since you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread. The devil does not seem to be doubting Jesus' identity. Instead, he seems to be kind of needling him about it, trying to figure out if Jesus even believes in who he is, tempting Jesus to define himself not in relationship to God, but on his own terms. Who are you? The tempter seems to ask. Who are you really? And whose are you? These questions of identity and relationship run in and through each of the three temptations that follow. Each offer an opportunity for Jesus to turn away from relationship and dependence on God. Each one is an attempt to sow seeds of doubt about Jesus' identity by giving an opportunity for Jesus to prove himself once and for all for who he really is. If you are really the Son of God, then surely you are powerful enough to do this miraculous thing, to turn these stones into bread, to feed and provide for yourself by your own power. The temptation is to prove his worth through his own power, his own abilities. But Jesus resists, and he resists by quoting scripture. It should not be lost on us that some of how Jesus is able to resist temptation is because he's prepared. He has not just immediately gone into a time of discernment. He has spent years studying, years seeking to understand himself, seeking to understand his place in the history of his people, seeking to understand who he is in the ongoing story of God. He quotes scripture from the 40 years the Israelites spent wandering in the desert, a time where their faith was questioned, where their identity was at risk, where their relationship to God has been put to the test. Jesus is not simply resisting temptation. He is also reasserting his true self. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, Jesus says. Having been resisted, the tempter tries a new angle. If Jesus will not prove his identity through his own power, if he won't turn from God by doing it all alone, then perhaps the devil can push those bonds of trust by testing God. The devil also decides to up his game and quote a little scripture himself. If you are the Son of God, then Throw yourself down. You know it's written. God will command his angels concerning you, and their hands, and with their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Again, the devil names Jesus' identity, if you are the Son of God. And then he essentially says, prove it. Prove to me that God loves you. Prove to me that you are in relationship. Prove it to yourself. Again, Jesus resists. Do not put the Lord God to the test. Jesus reasserts his trust in God, trust that is built into who he is, trust that goes beyond tests and the expectations of others, trust that reflects his own sense of call and gives us a glimpse of how he will both point us to and enact God's kingdom and God's work in the world. His relationship, his calling, his ministry, and his identity are forged in trust. One final time, the devil tries to get Jesus to turn from his true identity as God's son. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world and then offers them to Jesus, if Jesus will fall down and worship him. It is an offer of power, an offer of control, an offer to lead and to rule. But the price is quite high. The price is service and allegiance to empire. The price is service and allegiance to violence, to evil, to scarcity, to fear. It is written, Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus rejects the devil and the devil's mode of being in the world fully and finally. He chooses who he will serve, and he chooses whose he is. He is God's son, loved by God, claimed by God, empowered by God. His identity is fully rooted in that relationship. It is primary. And he cannot and he will not serve any other. Not himself, not his own ego or selfishness, not the powers of this world and earthly kingdoms, not the powers of violence or prejudice or fear, not anyone or anything that distracts him from his real mission of love and relationship and vulnerability on behalf of God, his Father. Jesus knows who he is. And we have perhaps just witnessed him fully living into that call, into that identity for the first time, fully choosing who he is and all that comes with it. Jesus emerges from his 40 days and 40 nights of struggle with clarity and purpose. And I wish I could say that that's also the end of the temptation, that we might also once and for all reject them all, that we might one day overcome our insufficiencies and our insecurities and our doubt over who we are. But even Jesus had his moments, weeping over Jerusalem, feeling the pain of rejection, praying in the garden, crying out from the cross. No. The nature of relationship is that it is fluid, it is dynamic, and our identity is defined by relationship. So, brothers and sisters, remember who you are. God has called you children, beloved by God, claimed by God, empowered by God. There will always be the temptation to doubt that reality, to forget, to live in ways that reject relationship with God and with each other. Brothers and sisters, remember who you are. A child of God, beloved, claimed, empowered. As we move into a time of prayer, the choir is going to lead us in. And then I am going to give you a few prompts to guide you in the silence, to guide you in your own time of personal confession. You are invited to honestly struggle in the wilderness of yourself, your identity, your relationship to God and to others. Let us pray.